Welcome to Spirited Word. By God's Word proclaimed, the Holy Spirit works faith in God's grace in Jesus, when and where He pleases. Sermons by Pastor Adrian Kitson, Lutheran Church of Australia.
Today's message is proclaimed by Pastor Robert Voigt.
Friends, the Holy Gospel this morning is written in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 9th verse. Jesus said, "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.' I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
I've often said that the church would be a fantastic place if it wasn't for people. And I've often said that I would have no troubles in life if it wasn't for people. Because then I'd always be right. Then there'd be no problem. And I've sometimes said to somebody, you know, I'm pretty worried about everybody in the world except you and me. And lately I've been worried about you. It's difficult living with people. It's difficult getting on with people. And as we go through life, we discover that conflict is something that just arises over and over again, almost every day, in a lesser or greater degree. And it's how we deal with it that makes all the difference. In the past, we've been told, well, we weren't told. We simply did the best we could. We did what we thought was right, or we did what we normally did as sinful human beings, like the rest of the world does. We got mad, we ran away, we did a whole range of things that didn't resemble what God wants us to do according to His Word. And so as a result, we've never been taught the process of dealing with conflict and bringing about resolution and reconciliation. We've never been taught. And so everybody my age and older, we are people who have just stayed in one track way of dealing with people. And the end result has not always been good. So getting into our DNA to change things is going to take a while. But maybe a few of you will remember a few years ago when I spoke about perspective. This is a picture by Julian Beaver. He is a sidewalk artist. And I look at this painting, this drawing in chalk, and I can't believe that it's a flat drawing on a pavement. I can't believe that. It is just looks so real. And so when I can say I believe what I see, and seeing is believing, in this case, it's not. The fact is our eyes tell us something different to the actual reality. For instance, there's this one as well where he, at a G8 summit, he did this on a sidewalk. And when you look at it like that, it stands out and looks fantastic. When you look at it from another perspective, it just looks very average and ordinary. So today we're talking about two things. First of all, about getting the log out of your own eye, and then talking about gently restoring others. And our focus is this text, which is one of my favourites. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set you free from the law of sin and death. I live by this text. That is, I cannot live if this text isn't true. I cannot live every day with peace and with the assurance of God's forgiveness if this text is not true. And therefore, for me, this is a pivotal text in the Word of God. Therefore, that's always a word that says, now this is final, this is the absolute truth. Therefore, there is now, today, at this moment, as you and I are here, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I live by it. But I don't always allow others to live by it. I need this to know that every day as I sin, do all sorts of stupid things, open my mouth and all sorts of rubbish comes out, and I rely on that there is no condemnation, that I live in the grace of God and I'm forgiven. And yet so often I don't want to allow others to live within that same grace, and therefore I become judgmental, picky, and very, very difficult to get on with. So, whoops, get the log out of your eye, is the words of Jesus. Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own eye? How can you think of saying to your friend, let me help get you get rid of that speck in your eye, when you can't see past the log in your own eye? You won't be able to read that very well, I think, but here he says, let me help you take that speck out of your eye, and he's whacking him and hurting him with his own log. We need to have one good thing. Ladies, Guild women got this on Wednesday. We need to have one thing very clear when we start looking at the sins of others. We need a good memory to remember our sins, to remember what God has forgiven us. And we also need a clear understand, well, clear the memory also of how we have sinned, not just sinned in general, but how we sinned, what we did, to remind us of the things that were bad enough that we felt guilty and sad and upset that we'd hurt God and others, and we went to God and he said, you're forgiven, be at peace. And we need to remember that when we're looking at other people who we think are not doing the right thing. When we think there are people who are not living the way we believe they should be living. That first Jesus said, look to yourself. Look at what I've done for you. Look at the fact that you're not perfect. Look at the fact that you also need God's, my grace, just as much as anybody else. And that's where we start. We start with that. Yes, instead of, I threw that in, I shouldn't have, because that just puts you off a little bit. Why aren't you more grateful when I prove how wrong you've been? Yes, we do in love to do that. But the thing is that we need to confess. We need to, first of all, Jesus said, look at what you need to confess, what you need to say to God, before you look at anybody else and suggest that they need to repent. And so very quickly we have to look at what it means to confess. Now I know the number of times that I've been asked to confess or say sorry, and I've said, if I've hurt you in any way, and I've immediately blown it because they said, if! So that's the second one. But the point is, that we got when we're looking at repenting, we have to be honest and straight and just no nonsense. And that means these things. Address everyone involved. That is, whoever you've hurt. We say, I have done the wrong thing. We avoid those things of if, but, and maybe, because that says, well, look, I don't really think I've done much. I don't really think I've hurt you. But look, because you're a bit weak and you get all sooky and I know that you just allow little things to upset you. So all right then, I'm sorry. But you admit specifically and simply say, I have done this. I said this and it was wrong. It's not, I'm sorry, now can we go and watch TV? It's rather, I'm sorry and this is what I did. I said that and that was wrong. And I hurt you and that was wrong. And acknowledge the hurt you caused, that I know that hurt you and I'm sorry. Now, I'm not good at doing this. I'm sorry, if you thought I was an expert today, and I'm telling you how it's done, you're going to be very disappointed. I'm on the same journey you guys are. I hadn't learnt this, and yet I believe that it's fantastic. I believe it's scriptural, and I believe it's the best way for Christians to demonstrate to the world around us that there's a better way than the way they do it out there. There's a lot better way. And so I don't do this well, but you acknowledge the hurt you caused. You accept the consequences. There are consequences when we hurt somebody. That they may not forgive us straight away. They may be mad with us. There may be other things that happen as a result, but we accept those. And then we alter our behavior and ask for forgiveness. Please forgive me. Those seven things come hard to a sinful human being. They are just not natural. And that's why these are things that can only be done by the power of God through His Spirit that allows us to do something that is not natural for us to do. And yet, to know that this is the way to bring peace in relationships. This is a way in which we can talk to people who we believe have done something wrong and need to be spoken to, but only after we first have taken that log out of our own eye. We all stand under the cross. And I believe that no matter where you stand in relation to the cross, you can always tell it's a cross. I'm sure somebody will be able to tell me there's one position where you won't see it as a cross, but we all stand under the cross. We are all equal. We are all equally forgiven. We all receive the same grace from God. And when that log is removed and we see our sin clearly, then we see what Jesus calls the speck in someone else's eye. And it is a speck. And it's not a major issue. And sometimes we have to decide, how will we deal with it? Well, let's get on with that quickly. I'm really with doing two things here today, the log and the gently restore. Jesus said, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. Proverbs 10:17, I reckon, ought to be used more often. Whoever heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. I've said before to some of you that when I have somebody come to me and say, Voigt, I don't think you did the right thing, my first internal response is, oh, Lord, thank you for this person. I really am grateful you sent him or her to me. And my first response is, well, who does he think he is? I know more about him. He's done this and I know about that. And then, of course, because I'm a pastor, sometimes when people talk to me, then I have to say, thank you so much for coming and telling me. I really appreciate it. And then they leave and I go, God, what's going on here? I've done this. I've been good. I've tried. And then you go and do this to me. This person, you can't please anybody. That goes for a little while, and then God gets to you and you start saying, all right then, I can see I didn't do that quite right, and I didn't say that quite right. I could have done that better. It doesn't just happen. It takes a bit of time. And so the whole thing, when we go to somebody or someone comes to us, we need to believe that, well, first that we've taken the log out of our eye, but also they've taken the log out of theirs, and they come with the right spirit. And we try to believe they come with the right spirit and they want to be helpful. And you hope you go with the right spirit to somebody. Gently restore. Where did that come from? I'm sorry, I actually meant gently restore. Because our first reaction is that, isn't it? Our first reaction to somebody talking to us is how dare they? Or if somebody has committed a sin and we see it and we say, well, how can they possibly do that? How can they possibly get away with that? How can this? How can that? And we, it, look, it's for your own good. I'm telling you this, you know. I remember saying that to my children when I was disciplining them. It's for your own good. And of course they said, Dad, we are just so grateful that you think of our good. No. To restore gently. You understand, if we think of our first response can be fight, our first response is anger. How dare they do this? I'll sort them out. The second one can be, we will actually walk away and say nothing, but in our heart we'll be going, man, that makes me mad. They shouldn't be doing this. And then we'll go and talk to other people and we'll gossip about it and we'll tell everybody else, but we won't do anything to help that person. And all we do is we make it worse, even while we give the impression that we're doing it for their good. Am I my brother's keeper? Cain asked God. Yes, you bet you are. We are our brother's keeper. And so the word Greek, restore, means mend, repair, equip. And so trust and love is important, not judgmentalism. If people know we come to them judging them and simply wanting to call them sinners, that's not helpful at all. But if somebody comes to me and I trust them and I believe that they want the best for me, then I'm more willing to listen. So, if we look at Jesus mentions how to restore gently, the first one is actually overlook. The first is that we overlook the sin, because so many of those things are things we do as human beings. And so if we go and nitpick and pick up everybody who's committed every tiny little sin and mistake, then we're going to be known as very super critical people. So we overlook a huge amount. My wife's an expert at overlooking. Yeah, don't disagree, dear. That's all right. No, she's not disagreeing. But she is. We need to be in marriages. We overlook a whole heap of stuff. In relationships, we have to overlook so much. And then Jesus used these steps. Talk privately. Take one or two. And if they don't listen, take one or two others. Tell it to the church. I wish we'll talk more about this on Tuesday, because talking privately is not as easy as it sounds, especially if it's between two unequal people. So telling a woman who comes to me and says, I'm being abused by my husband, and I say, go home and talk to him about it. That's crazy. If somebody often came to me and said, I want to talk to a pastor about this or about that, but I can't because the pastor has more power than I do. That makes it tough. So it's not always the easy thing to do. And so often it's better to go to the next one to take one or two others, but then it looks like you're ganging up on them. But it really is the best way to go. Tell it to the church if they won't listen. Has nothing to do with immediate excommunication and everybody votes to keep him in or out. It has to do with the church takes the responsibility of seeking to settle and bring about resolution and reconciliation. It is our task to speak the truth, but the truth as we see it from our perspective, which means we're careful. Speak the truth in love. It is God's job to change people's hearts. And that's where we sometimes get impatient and take over. Galatians 6, Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are spiritual should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path." I still reckon that lady looks a bit like Helen Harris. John will be interested to know who the other bloke is. I may have to work on some reconciliation here after today. So, but Paul himself says the same thing. If a believer is overcome in some sin, we who are spiritual, who have removed the log from our eye, who know we are under the grace of God, who accept that this person is in God's grace as well, only then can we gently and humbly help them back on the right path. And as Paul again says in Romans, may God who gives this patience and encouragement help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. You and I sin every day. You and I do things that we are so sorry for. We say things that we regret. We don't say things that we regret. And therefore, it is vital that together we know that we live under God's grace. And while you may not be able to see it quite clearly, what does God have for those of us who have squandered God's grace in the past? More grace. Grace upon grace. God's grace comes to us new every day. God's grace says, "You are my child and I love you. And I'm going to help you see that log in your eye, and I'm going to help you to be of value and use to your fellow Christians. And I'm going to help you together as a community to demonstrate to the world outside of us, these walls, that this way of reconciliation is God's way. And it will bring about a change in relationships and help us to understand just how wonderful God is to us every day by the grace he gives us. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Jesus to life eternal. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Pastor Adrian serves at St. Petrie Lutheran Church, Nuriutpa, Barossa Valley, South Australia. stpetrie.org.au